Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
For this is what the Sovereign Lord says.
Why do you need prophets to tell people who you are and what you want?
If you can justify everything that the God of the Bible has done, then you can justify any of your behavior.
A lot of this mentality is trickling into what is now mainstream right-wing Christianity.
I am capable of empathy greater than this God of the Bible.
This is a Bible that they tell kids. This is the good Lord. This is the good book. He is fantasizing about murder, mass murder.
Head over to sacrilegiousdiscourse.com right now to find out how to leave us a review or support us on Patreon.
Husband!
Wife!
Do you know what we're doing today?
Well, last time we read Matthew chapter 11.
Sure as fuck did.
Yeah, and in that chapter, we had John the Baptist still in jail.
John the Baptist!
Still, and he was sending people to check in with Jesus and like, hey, dude, are you the real thing?
Are you like are you that the real Messiah?
Yeah. And then Jesus kind of like went on a like loving John the Baptist tangent.
I know, it was so weird because he's like, bro, am I the Messiah? Shut the fuck up. Are you guys really? You're from John the Baptist? What?
Yeah.
Get over here.
Yeah.
Come get in here. Get in here.
Right. And then there was a whole thing. There was a thing that we kind of discussed, and we're going to talk about it probably more in the Q&A, but like sounded to us like it was talking about the kingdom of heaven being earthly as opposed to, you know, heavenly.
Yeah.
Sort of. So that was an interesting take. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus said something about you can't, you know, be smart and follow Jesus or follow God or
stop asking
whatever.
Questions.
Yeah, don't ask questions.
Don't ask any questions. Just hop in the car.
Yeah. So obviously we're fucked.
And then yeah, totally. And then also he was like, and also fuck this town, fuck that town, and fuck those towns.
Right.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
That's one of those things I've always had a problem with religion. Like, why can't you stand up to questions? You should be able to question things that are weird and all. Like, if it sounds weird, I should be able to ask questions about it. If I don't understand it, I should be able to ask questions about it. What is wrong with asking questions about it?
It's such a large form of social gaslighting where you're like looking around going, am I the only one that sees this?
Right. Yeah.
This is weird. Does anybody else like, what? What's happening right now?
And I mentioned this at the end of the last podcast, but I want to mention at the beginning of this one. I've been doing a lot of updates on our podcast, or no, I'm sorry,
on our website,
sacrilegiousdiscourse.com. Mm-hmm. And the latest among a slew of things where you can write your political, like you can write your local politicians through our website with guidance, and it'll actually help you find your politicians there. There's contradiction explorers, all kinds of stuff. But the latest thing I've done is that it links in videos from Dan McClellan, who is a Bible scholar who kind of dissects scripture based on what the original intent was and tells it's very informative. It's very informative information. He technically is still Christian, according to him. But it's very in line with deconstructing, and especially if you are trying to find the real answers about what people believe the case to be in the Bible. But I have made it to where it links up to our podcast episodes. If you go to our podcast episodes on our website, below them, if there is something relevant from Dan McClellan, it should be there. And
so
also
that way
our contradiction pages as well.
So that way
thing.
If you're listening to us and you're like, oh, they raised a good point, but they didn't really answer it so great, he will give you the actual scholarly, historically based answer.
Yeah, and I don't usually do huge shout outs for other platforms on our podcast a lot.
And he doesn't,
not that I'm against it, but I mean, you know, we have our own thing going on.
That
and
we're doing
yeah, this.
We have not contacted him.
It's not a collaboration. It's just he has some of the best resources available for what I wanted to allow our visitors to our website to have that's available out there. And so that's there.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we just read Matthew chapter 11.
Yes, we did.
Which means that today we're going to be reading
Little Maddie chapter 12.
All right, let's do this.
Okie dokie. All right, we are hopping into Little Maddie, chapter 12.
Yeah.
And he's going to tell us some shit.
I bet he is he going to tell us, or is it Jesus?
Yeah, Jesus.
Oh, okay.
That's right. What I meant.
Yeah.
No, you were right to correct me. It's not Matthew speaking. I mean, Matthew's not, whatever. We've been over this. We don't know who the fuck this is,
it's
really.
It's the red print.
Yeah.
You know, well, it starts off with black print, but yeah.
And I kind of forgot last time, like, there was so much red print. I kind of forgot to specify every time it was red, and I had intended to do that. So try to catch me out and be like, catch me outside.
Like, is it red?
Is it red? Did Jesus said that?
Yeah.
Jesus said that?
Well, it's important, right?
No, it is. It is.
We need to know what Jesus said.
And it's in red.
And until you get to Paul, apparently. Or Paul? Paul.
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 Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever book that is.
Whatever.
I don't fucking know.
We'll find out, I guess.
Oy, oy, oy. Boring. All right, ready?
I'm ready.
At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them.
Okay.
As they're allowed to do. Yeah. They're supposed to do that.
Right.
They were gleaning.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath."
Mm.
They were working on the Sabbath?
That is. Wait, I thought they were just eating.
They were picking grains. They were picking heads of grain.
Oh.
They should have already picked it the day before. Good.
God killed somebody for picking up a fucking stick.
Yeah. They were breaking the capital L
that's
law.
That's not cool.
When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are stupid. They're bad and wrong. They're doing unlawful things on the Sabbath."
This says they're stupid?
No.
Oh.
I already read that line, so I was being funny when I reread it.
Okay.
He, Jesus, answered and read, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry?" Okay, hold on. David and his friends ate honey while they were in the middle of fucking war. Y'all just be walking around.
He ate honey?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But that's not working still.
But they were collecting the honey from the beehives.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Jesus is like using David as an example. Like, David did it. I can do it too. I'm sorry, but I specifically remember David was in the middle of fucking war when he was gathering the fruits and the honeys
Freddie
and shit.
Says that was Jonathan.
Was it Jonathan?
I don't recall that, actually, so I don't know.
Well, okay. Well, I thought it was David. I don't know. But you might not be right. Well, but I'm pretty sure they were at war, though. I'm pretty sure they were at war. But Jesus is like, we can do whatever we want because David did it.
Okay.
David did
something anyway.
Yeah. He said, "Didn't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry?" I'll definitely quote that and find where it came from for the Q&A. "He entered the house of God and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread."
Oh.
Wow, wow, wow. "Which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests."
Hmm.
He's like, David was a fuckface, so now I get to eat grain. This is the biggest yeah but you that I've ever heard in history.
Right, but even with them breaking in, and they broke a law, but they weren't working on the Sabbath. So it's not the same law, if they're just not supposed to eat that bread.
Right, but
so
he's
it's not
saying,
even the same fucking law.
He's like, David's a fuckface, so I can eat grain if I want to.
I guess.
This is pissing me off. I gotta tell you.
Why do you guys get to break the law?
"Or haven't you read," continued Jesus, "or haven't you read in the capital L law that the priests on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent?"
What?
They apparently
desecrate. What do they do?
I don't know.
Okay.
"I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, quote, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' end quote, you would not have condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath."
Okay.
So he's quoting from wherever in the Old Testament that says, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." I do remember God was like speaking to some crowd of his stupid followers, and he was saying to them, like, y'all are just going through the motions. You're not doing the right thing.
Sure.
Like, you're making the sacrifice, but you're like, do we have to? And like, that's not the fucking point of the sacrifice. Like, you're supposed to
Right. The whole thing, like there was a whole thing in the Old Testament where God was like, you need to mean it.
Yeah.
I don't need you to sacrifice. I need you to mean the action. Whatever I need you to mean the intent behind it.
Yeah. Whatever you're doing, I need it to be authentic.
Sure.
At all times.
But still, but why are you working on the fucking Sabbath, though? That still doesn't excuse what they're doing, because it sounds to me like they're blatantly breaking the law to prove some sort of a fucking point.
And then Jesus is like, well, David sucks, and David got away with it, so whatever. And then he's like, anyways, I'm the son of God, so, like, I'm the fucking Lord of the Sabbath. I can do whatever the fuck I want.
I don't think he was saying David sucks, but...
No, yeah, he is. He is. He's saying David did some shit and got away with it.
Okay.
He specifically said, didn't you read what David did?
No, but I think you're misinterpreting that. I think the intent is that David was this great human being who God loved, and he got away with it because his intentions were correct, not because he did the wrong thing.
It says,
like he's trying to say David was doing things for the right reasons in a godly manner, and therefore God allowed this because his intentions were correct.
Let me reread this. He says, he entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent?
Sure. Okay. But I highly doubt he's trying to... there's got to be something here, because I cannot see that he would be dismissing David.
It feels to me like he's saying, David can do shit, I can do shit too. And if David is still beloved, surely I am, because I'm the son of God. And as the son of God, I'm the Lord of the fucking Sabbath.
Right.
I don't know. It just feels very uppity to me. Like, whom's the fuck, sir? It clearly says don't, whatever your reason. It doesn't say with exceptions.
Right. But I think this is going to require some research and looking back.
No, definitely.
At it,
definitely. Sure. Regardless, they are breaking the law.
Sure.
They might have a good reason.
Right.
But they are breaking the law.
Right.
That is true.
Sure.
Okay. So going on from that place, we're in a different section now.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Moving on. Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Oh, that's a Stephen King short story. There was somebody with a shriveled hand. It's one of his short stories in his short story collection.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. It was a scary story, too. I think it's the same book that had Thinner in it. Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay.
Ooh, and the one with the monkey that bangs its cymbals together, that short story. Ooh, Stephen King writes some scary shit. Okay. Shriveled hand guy is in the synagogue.
Okay, yeah.
Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they, whoever they are, people that are following him around trying to catch him out.
Sure.
Trying to find reasons to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Oh, he went into the synagogue to heal this guy, and they're like, that's work. Are you sure you should be doing that?
Right.
So they are trying to catch him working on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
They are like, they're being nitpicky, and they're like, they're doing malicious compliance bullshittery. But to be fair, like, we'll pay your taxes.
Right. But I feel like Jesus is just like, I'm the son of God, bitches.
I can do whatever the fuck. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, A, y'all are only following me around, like trying to find any mistake I make, but I am free to do whatever the fuck I want and make whatever mistakes I want. Like, right. He ain't even trying to hide it.
But I still don't like that.
It's flamboyant.
Right.
But you don't have to be like that. You can wait till tomorrow.
If you really wanted to stand out as somebody who is not, you know, like, you know, according to some of the things we've read, there's a lot of people trying to be, you know, the Messiah at this point in time, right?
Lots of false prophets and whatever.
So if you really wanted to stand out, you gotta
go big or go home.
Right.
And he's like, fuck it.
So
we're going in on the Sabbath, y'all. Are you ready for this?
He's putting on a show.
That's what the last chapter was about. He was like, y'all, this is gonna suck because we about to break the Sabbath. Are you ready for this? They gonna bring the sword. I'm telling you, it's gonna split shit up. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
That's what the previous chapter was about. It was a warning because he's like, we're going to break the Sabbath.
Right.
And that's what they're doing now.
Yeah.
And it's intentional. And honestly, I'm not really here for it because... Yeah. But these are the rules that they're supposed to be following.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And he's not enforcing them or reinforcing them. And that's kind of shitty.
Certainly not setting a good example.
That's what I'm saying. He's not setting a good example. He's like, fuck it, let's all break them.
Right.
Clearly, like, the synagogue guys aren't following them either.
Right.
Right? And none of the people in the town are following them. But you don't get people to follow rules by, like, blatantly walking around in front of everybody breaking them.
Right.
I don't like Jesus in this chapter.
I think he's just trying to shake things up to make political. Himself stand out.
Yeah.
So,
this
but yeah.
is political and not spiritual, and I don't like it. So, anyway, he said to those guys following him around trying to catch him messing up his tax form, you know?
Right.
Because that's how you catch people. You don't catch people... like doing the actual bad thing. You catch them when they fuck up on their taxes.
Right.
The stupid shit.
Yeah. And that's how they got Al Capone, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So Jesus said to them in red ink, if any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath.
Wait. If you truly believed, you would not rescue that sheep, right? Because God would have intended God for that would, to happen, right? Because
God would beat your
you
ass.
You can't fucking work on the Sabbath.
He's
right?
going to smite you.
So I mean, I get what he's saying.
But he's like, what? Like, this is the point that me and you would have made back when God laid down this law, where we're like, but what about if you just going to let that sheep die?
Yeah.
And then now God's like, you're just going to let that sheep die? And it's like, shut up. You don't get to, like, several thousand years, whatever, later.
Are you just going
to
let that ark fall over?
Right.
Are you just going to, you know, let somebody trip over that stick? Are you just going to, like, I mean, come on, dude. You killed people for this shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And now you're like, ugh, this is pissing me off.
Yeah.
This is pissing me off because he's taking the side that we took and pretending like. And I'm like,
what?
No.
This is the way it's always been.
And I'm like, no, that's not what we were saying. Like, we were always on the side of save the sheep, fuck God.
Right.
And you're not saying fuck God. You're saying I am God. I could change the rules if I want to.
Right. And let's just be clear. He's changing the fucking rules.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a change in the rules.
He's changing the fucking rules. And then everybody's like, nah, God doesn't change his mind. He doesn't change his rules. And I'm like, right here. He's reinterpreting them. He's like... Before they got smut, and now it's like, use common sense. Of course you're going to save the fucking lamb.
Right.
Like, yeah. Fuck off. This is bullshit. Okay, anyway, he's like, of course you're going to save the lamb, and if you're going to save the lamb, obviously you're going to save the person because of how much more valuable is a person than a sheep. Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Bomp, bomp.
Okay, but first of all, look. I obviously, as a human being, would definitely say save a person. But this person has a crippled hand, which probably didn't just happen that day.
You could save it tomorrow.
Right.
And still be setting a good example.
Yeah. There's nothing, you know, time sensitive about fixing that hand.
I agree with you, Jesus. And it would be cool if it was always that way. But you acting like they misinterpreting. And actually, sir, they're not.
Hell, he's not even allowed to do work on Sunday or, you know, the Sabbath. Sorry, it's not always Sundays. It's, you know, it could be Saturday. It could be
whenever it is.
Whatever. But this guy that has the crippled hand isn't even allowed to work on the Sabbath. So what does it matter whether you fix it on the Sabbath or not?
Exactly.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. So anyways, Jesus then said to the man in red ink,
yeah,
stretch out your hand. So dude stretched it out and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. I mean, that's what it says. They're
like, this guy fucking fixed somebody on the Sabbath. We're going to kill him.
He's like, he broke the Sabbath. He's a brave motherfucker. We got to get rid of this guy.
Let me ask you. I mean, just as a you know, scenario here, right?
I hear politics coming.
No, it's really not. It's really not. But let's just say... You kind of disliked somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, and And then you're trying to catch them doing something bad. Like, let's just say Trump. Let's just say Trump. Okay. Right. We don't like him.
Sure.
But let's just say that you followed him around and you saw him
break 1,000 laws.
No. Well, no. Let's say you saw him heal somebody.
Right. Okay.
Would you immediately? And look, this is a tough one because I really don't like Trump.
But I wouldn't be like.
Well, would that be the cause of you like plotting his death?
I wouldn't be like this motherfucker right here. I would not be like that. I would be like, God damn.
Right.
Who knew he had a good bone in his fucking body?
Right.
Weird.
Like, that's a weird thing to decide you want to, like,
kill him over.
Yeah.
But it's not cool. It's not over the healing of the guy, to be fair. They're not doing it that way.
No, I get it.
They're not like weirded out because specifically he healed a guy.
Sure. They're trying to find a reason to say that he's breaking God's laws, and then they're going to use that to.
Well, they already didn't like him. And the fact that he's breaking the Sabbath very publicly with a crowd following him around, seeing him do it, they're like, we have got to get rid of this fool. He is tearing our city apart.
Sure. But I just can't imagine witnessing a miracle. A fucking miracle.
How can we spin this?
And then they try to kill him because he performed a miracle. Remember? Like, I'm like, how do you not witness that and be like, yeah, this guy's... If I witnessed a miracle, I think I'd be like, okay, some shit's different than what I thought, you know?
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Do you remember before we were born when a guy discovered the cure for polio, and rather than make a dollar, he obviously gave it to the government,
right?
And then we cured mostly polio,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's awesome. But then remember, in our lifetime, insulin was discovered. And they didn't hand it over to the government.
Yeah.
And they made thousands and millions and billions and trillions of dollars off of it.
Right.
Remember? Right. Remember?
I do remember that.
So, I don't know where I was going with that, but sometimes miracles happen and...
But they aren't miracles.
They're not miracles.
They're science.
And
they're fucking science.
And I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that.
Sure. I'm just saying, though, if I witnessed a miracle, mm-hmm. I feel like that would cause me to, like, rethink my take on this human being and say, wow, that's...
That is truly,
it would have to be truly a miracle. Like, I'd have to witness... Yeah. But they apparently witnessed this miracle.
Yeah.
And instead of, like, being marveled by it...
Right.
They are instead plotting his death.
Right.
And I'm just like, that's weird.
That is...
And doesn't really track in my brain.
Because they're skipping the other sentences. It's why. And
sure.
And
but the truth is that the miracle didn't happen or they wouldn't be plotting his death.
Right. Because
like, if the miracle happened, they'd be scared as fuck.
No, that's so true.
You know?
That's so
like,
true.
Because they'd be like, yeah, that's God.
Obviously, that's a fucking God.
That was a miracle.
They'd be like, whoa, but did you see that?
It seems like during this time frame, there's miracles just popping out of the goddamn woodwork.
I mean, they're
all over the fucking place.
Angels and demons. Miracles do be popping off back then.
Right.
All right. So aware of this. So he knew the Pharisees are looking to kill him. Okay.
Yeah.
He's aware. Jesus withdrew from that place. I mean, as you do.
Right. Because, you know.
There might be some people trying to kill me. So I'm going to leave the synagogue. Yeah,
let's just go somewhere.
I don't want to hang here anymore.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. A large crowd followed him, and he healed all who were ill. That was nice of him. Mm. He's like...
Did they have a cold? Did they have...
No, listen. He's like, hey, yes, everybody stay around me because those fucks over there, they're trying to kill me. So, yes, I will heal anybody. Yes, crowd, please.
Sure.
Love it.
Okay.
He warned them not to tell others about him. So this was not about surrounding himself
for safety. Again, it's in the fucking Bible.
Right.
So...
This was to fill... What was spoken through the prophet Isaiah, because of course it was.
Because prophecy stuffing. Okay,
quote, here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love and whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out till he has brought justice through to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope. I don't know what any of that...
Was that Jesus saying that?
No, that is what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah.
Oh.
It's a quote.
Okay.
It was just a long quote.
So this is the justification for what Jesus...
So now I gotta go look all this shit up and be like, what did he actually mean? I don't remember.
Right, because it's obviously gonna be something slightly different.
Right, right.
Or completely different.
Or completely... Or, like, they were talking about Israel, not a Messiah.
Right.
Or they were talking about war, not whatever the fuck, Jesus.
Look, I only know... Like, I can't recall that exact phrase, right? Mm-hmm. But I do know that every time that we came across something that was even slightly Jesus-y... In the Old Testament, we're like, shouted. Wait, no, that actually was applying to this or that or mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. It was never something Jesus-y.
No, it was never.
Not once.
There were a couple of times when they were like, Messiah's coming and blah, blah, blah. And I mean,
but it was very vague.
A lot of religions said that.
And even with that, oftentimes it was referring to a very near-term thing that they thought was right. happening.
Which we did cover... That in one of our multiple deep dives back then,
right.
that they were always talking about the near future, not the far off future.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they were very concerned with tomorrow, not next year or, you know, 100 years, much less 1,000 years later.
Right.
All right. Here we go. Then they brought him a demon possessed man who was blind and mute.
Oh, yeah. Both. Blind and mute.
Blind and mute. You're
gonna
and
need, you're gonna need demon at least three possessed. Pigs for this one.
three pigs.
This is a three pig exorcism.
Yeah, yeah. This is a three pig job. Well, what I just find funny is that it's like, so he was blind and mute and demon possessed, or he was blind and mute. So you thought that must mean he's demon possessed.
Right, yeah.
Was there a demon or wasn't there? Anyways. And Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see.
Wow.
That's pretty.
Wow.
All the people were astonished and said, could this be the son of David?
Okay.
Could it be? Could it be the son of David?
The fixing of the hand and mm-hmm. the curing the multiple other people.
Yeah.
But this one. That one made all the difference.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard this, oh, fucking Pharisees.
Yeah.
They
hear it. I didn't think they were supposed to tell anybody.
They're following everybody around. They're following that crowd. It's only Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out of demons. Jesus knew that. Oh, sorry. There was an end quote.
Oh, okay.
I just didn't realize it.
Yeah.
It was badly done.
Right.
Like, let me try that again. The sure. Pharisees are like, oh, it's only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this fella drives out demons. So they're like, fuck him. He doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. That's devil talk.
Mm.
And Jesus knew their thoughts, though.
Okay. So he can mind read, too.
Mm-hmm.
Man, he's got all the powers.
He's magical. He's the X-Men.
Yeah.
I wonder how his disciple apostle guys are doing that he gave magic powers to. Right.
Can they read minds, too? Is this...
Can you read my mind? What color are my underwear? That's from the movie Superman.
Right.
The original Superman movie. Yeah, like back in the day when we were kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them in red ink, so you know it's special.
Sure.
Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. That's the, a divided house cannot stand.
I guess we're fucked.
Yeah. Yeah. if Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand?
If Satan drives out Satan?
He's saying, y'all are saying I'm Satan, driving Satan out of this demon-possessed dude.
Yeah.
I'm Satan, driving Satan out. That is Satan divided. That's bullshit.
Okay.
He's like, Pharisees, do math. You stupid.
Right.
I'm not saying that I'm, like, supporting Jesus here. I'm just saying, like, I'm with him on this point.
Sure.
He's like, y'all stupid. Anyway, how then can his kingdom stand, you know, if it's Satan driving out Satan?
Right, right.
And if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So then they'll be your judges.
Hmm. Okay.
But if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Watch out. He coming to get you.
So again, I just want to point out that apparently Jesus is not the only one performing miracles.
Right.
There correct. Are other lots of other people
mm-hmm. charging
performing
money
miracles.
Charging money for these miracles.
At this current period of time.
Yeah.
Which is really weird to me.
Lots of false prophets running around saying, no, I'm the one. No, I'm the one. No, pick me, pick me.
Right, but if there's all these people performing miracles, that makes Jesus not special at all.
No, not Jesus, very.
The only thing he is special at is causing problems in the power listen. Structure.
No, he's very special because he broke the Sabbath.
Right, publicly. Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He's doing the same shit other people are doing, except for that he's breaking God's law while doing it.
He did it on a Sunday.
Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday. Whatever. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Okay, Jesus is still talking in his red ink, though, okay? He's got a long passage here, so hold on to your butts.
All right.
Or again, continued Jesus, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can plunder his house. He's referring to the person. Like, the person is the house, and he's like, I gotta tie up the demon and get him out before I can, like, get in there and save his heart. Okay. I can't heal his heart. I can't forgive him and save him until I get the demon out.
Got it.
I think that's what he's saying.
Okay.
Whoever is not with me, continued Jesus in red, whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. Scatter, smother, covered. That's what they say, I'm telling you. And so I tell you, continued Jesus in red, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. That's cute. Every kind of sin and slander. Yay. Except for blasphemy against the Spirit.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Unforgiven.
So that's why
that's great.
Everybody can be forgiven for everything.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Except for slander.
Spiritual slander.
Don't you be slandering the Spirit.
Or any Spirit.
Capital S Spirit.
Oh, the Spirit.
The Spirit.
Don't slander that dove. That dove, we're going to get really pissed off.
The column of smoke is not pleased. He is not a merry man. Oh, I lived all my life to make that quote. That's a great Worf quote. Okay, nothing. Carry on. Okay, anyway, Jesus in red continues, anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven either in this age or the age to come. Fuck you forever, die.
I have to be honest here because we learned that the dove originally represented like the Holy Spirit or whatever, the Holy Ghost or something like that.
Yeah.
So what I'm imagining right now is like a rabid dove going around chasing people and killing them because it's pissed off that it got slandered.
That's
what's going through my brain right now.
Pecking its eyes out.
I had to get that out of my brain because it was fun. And I want that to be a movie.
Oh my gosh. That'd be a great short story or movie.
The rabid dove, you know?
Yeah, the rabid dove.
Right, yeah.
The dove of the... Yeah. Totally. But, okay, so he's saying, fuck you forever if you talk shit about God.
Okay.
Just so you know.
So we're
husband.
We are really fucked if God is real.
Fuck you
like,
forever.
We are so fucked.
In this age or the age to come, fuck you forever.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Just want to make sure. That's how mad I am at you. If I'm Jesus.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck you forever. Okay. That's nice, Jesus. Good
or
on you.
Or it's not.
Right.
It's not nice.
He continues more words in red.
Okay.
Make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be, what do you think?
Good.
No.
Oh, shit.
No, bad is bad.
I'm always wrong.
I know.
I mean,
bad is bad.
Yeah.
For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You better recognize. You brood of vipers. Oh, I like that. He brought that back. I forgot about that, you brood of vipers.
Yeah.
Honey lip vixens with them brood of vipers.
Yeah, you gotta walk that straight path and go through the narrow gate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
make sure you do all those things.
And something about lions.
And don't wear, you know, mixed threads.
And don't eat honey.
Don't eat shrimp.
Fuck.
Man.
Okay. Anyway, you brood of vipers. How can you who are evil say anything good? Oof. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of.
The mouth. Okay.
He's like being like Meghan Trainor, and he's like, your lips are moving, but you lie. That's what he's saying. Okay. All right. He continues more words.
Okay. All right.
A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Okay. Look.
I'm hearing black and white.
That is so
right and wrong, good and evil.
That is so childish.
It is.
Because listen, my dad is a good man and he does some not nice things. Like he says things are not nice, you know? Like, but he's a good man, but he's not nice always.
Sure.
Like I wouldn't call him evil, but
right. That's what I'm saying. Gray area is the world we live in.
Right.
We live in the gray.
You know what?
The gray is everything.
Okay, I'm gonna go so far as to say my ex-husband, whom I hate and deplore with every fiber of my being, he's an evil man, but he does some good for our kid.
Sure.
You know?
Sometimes.
I'm just saying, like, kid is able to find good in him.
Sure.
And,
yeah.
You know, they play guitar together and shit like that. Fuck ever. Yeah. Anyways, I'm trying to be fair here.
Right.
Evil can be good. Good can be evil. That's what I'm trying to say. Nuance.
That's the biggest problem with most of the Bible is that there is no good and evil, right and wrong. That is not how anything works.
No.
I'm not saying that there aren't things that happen that are wrong or that there aren't things that are happened that are right. But most of the world and most events live in a very gray area between those two things.
You know, growing up, my mom always told me like that I was so judgmental. And mind you, like my parents were not religious when I was growing up.
Right.
They are now, like very much so. But they were not when I was growing up. My mom always taught me people are more than one thing.
Sure.
You shouldn't be so judgy.
Yeah. And you do have a tendency to be very black and white in the way you see things.
And so that's why, like, one of the things I always say is like, well, to be fair. And then I try to present the alternate perspective because I am aware that I have that tendency to be black and white.
Right.
And so
I think it's a
people are more than one thing.
I think it's a very romantic way to view the world. Like, I think that it's an easy and simplistic way to view the world.
Sure.
If you see that there is right and wrong, it makes your, like, people don't like choices. People don't like ambiguity. They like to know this is right, that's wrong. I'm doing the right thing or I'm doing the wrong thing. And there's a direct answer for it.
It goes back to what we were talking about last week when we were saying that it lets you not have to think about it. It's very simple. It's lazy thinking, and it leads to no tolerance policies. So what? I don't have to think about it. It's written down over there. Just it's yes or no. Those are your only choices. Therefore, one kid in the class that's always making trouble was talking. I can't be bothered. There's a no tolerance policy. So the whole class has to stay in for recess and write papers.
Well, it's oftentimes the reason you have trouble talking to someone who is very religious.
Yes.
Because they already have the answer, and the answer to them is Jesus and God, right?
Yeah.
There is no other answer.
Yeah.
Anything else other than those answers are wrong and bad and evil, right?
Yes.
The only answer that is acceptable to that person, because they see the world in right and wrong, evil and bad, or evil and good, and black and white, they very much see that Jesus is the answer and that anything else is wrong.
Right.
And you can't get someone out of that thinking unless they start to examine the gray area that actually is there in life.
My dad has specifically said that there is no gray, that the gray belongs to the devil, and that everything is simple. It is black and white.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
oh. Unfortunately, that's wrong.
I'm like, sir, you are so cooked. You are cooked. You are done. All right. Anyways, a good is good and a bad is bad, continues Jesus. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. Well, I hope that's true because I know a lot of motherfuckers that think they're doing okay.
Right.
For by your words, you will be acquitted, and by your words, you will be condemned. By your words or by your heart? Because your words and your heart don't always fucking agree. And Christians can talk some talk, but goddamn, their hearts are ugly.
I'm going to put together like a mixtape of our podcast of all the good stuff so that if there is heaven, we can like, you know, be like, well, this is the good stuff. This is here.
We have
listen
good.
To this. Listen to this reel right here. This is the good reel.
By my words, I'll be acquitted. Come on, bitch. Let me in. Oh, God. All right. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, Jesus, teacher, we want to see a sign from you. Like, I literally just fucking went into the synagogue and healed the man with the broken hand whatever.
I exercised a goddamn demon.
And then I made this mute and blind man be able to do stuff with no demon. He's healed.
Right.
Like, what do you mean you need a fucking sign? Oh my God.
He didn't even need pigs to do it. Apparently. Right. You know, I'm just saying.
Like,
the whole pig thing. Sorry.
You're never going to let it go. I feel like Jesus could have been like, you need a sign and I need $1 million and everybody needs something and fuck off.
Right.
He answered, though, however, in red ink.
Okay.
A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a large fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth.
Oh my God.
They're in their prophecy stuffing. Now they're like pre-prophecy making. They're writing a prophecy.
Right, that but they can, like when we read Jonah, the belly of the fish, like that was a metaphor for other shit. It's not even true. And now he's like pulling it out, and he's simplifying it to this crowd.
It really happened.
And trying. It's just so like the way that is worded is so wrong.
Yeah.
Like Jesus either didn't understand the meaning of what Jonah had, like the whole story of Jonah, or he is simplifying it to people and just being very wrong the way he's pitching that.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
This is annoying.
Yeah.
All right. He continues in red ink. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here. You know, me. I'm here. Don't you love me? I'm awesome. Because I'm awesome. Because I'm Batman.
He was only there 3 days, but like he only made it like halfway through the city, didn't he? And they chased him out. And then nothing changed.
And then he sat under a tree.
And then it might have been a dream.
He sat under a tree and cried.
Right. It was such a weird fucking...
It was a weird story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is what he's referencing.
Yeah.
I'm like that. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this.
Well, he then continues, the Queen of the South, and that's a capital Q and a capital S. Okay. The Queen of the South will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she comes from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom.
Oh, so we're talking about, what's her face?
Queen of Sheba.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The chick from
she's gonna rise.
Ethiopia.
We're reinvoking.
And now something greater than Solomon is here.
Okay.
Yeah. The Queen of the South will rise at the judgment. Why?
That's weird.
Right? Why?
Why was she so important?
Why are you quoting her?
I don't understand.
That's a big cue for our
Q&A. Right. I don't understand why she was so prevalent in this. Like, I don't feel like she should have made it around to the New Testament.
Mm-mm.
That doesn't make sense.
Not at all.
But there she is.
I mean, she was a cool story.
She was a cool story. And she might have ended up with the Ark, maybe.
Yeah.
But,
I still think that her son snuck off with it and hiked on back to Ethiopia with it.
But, I still don't understand why she got brought into this conversation.
Yeah, that was like a side story. What's happening here?
Yeah.
Okay, that's definitely a question.
Yeah, no, okay. Definitely.
This chapter just keeps going. My God. Okay, Jesus still talking. He got a lot to say.
Yeah.
Catch your breath, dude. It's okay. When an impure spirit, says Jesus, comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it, except for when it gets in a pig.
Right. But then it just runs into the ocean.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it.
Okay.
Then it, the spirit, says, I'll return to the house I left.
Okay.
When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first.
So really, when Jesus is healing people from demon possession, he's just fucking them worse.
Right? That is how it will be with this wicked generation. He's stretching them out. He's like, I'm going to bang you so fucking hard that when I'm done with you, it's going to feel like there's seven demons in you.
Right. I think
he's stretching them out.
I think really what he's probably trying to get at here maybe, and this is probably the way it's interpreted, would be that once you've had a demon removed from you, you need to keep your house in order, or it will allow for even worse to come back in.
Yeah.
But it also allows for people to be like, oh, well, they just didn't keep their house in order, so that's why they're even worse now.
Your house being your personal spiritual self.
Right, yeah.
Not your actual house, your metaphorical house.
But when someone gets, you know, exercised and then they end up still having problems, it can allow the priest or whoever be like, well, it's not my fault. They didn't fucking keep their house in order.
Yeah, clearly they're, I mean, look, they already got shit on in the first place.
Right.
They were already bad in the first place.
Yeah, I feel
like, basically it's like, once you let a demon in, you can't really, you've already opened the door to evil. And then, like, yeah, it left, but the door's still open and there's going to be a party in your head.
Yeah. And, but to me, it just sounds like an excuse for not actually being able to do demon removal.
Right. Exactly.
That's not a thing.
And then blaming it on the person instead of the bad healer.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is bullshit.
Yeah.
This chapter is full of bullshit and it's pissing me off. All right, let's bring it home. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him.
Brothers?
I think it means like his spiritual brothers, his brethren.
Well, then why did he say mother?
I don't know.
But I mean, when you say and his brothers, his mother and his brothers in the same sentence, it sounds to me like he's saying his mother.
Okay, but there's more. Let me finish the or let me finish the section.
Sure,
okay?
Sure.
Okay, so while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, yo, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. He replied to him in red ink, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, so the brothers were the disciples.
Okay.
Jesus said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother.
So did he disown his family? Because somebody is telling him, like, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you.
Right.
And he's like, nah, these are my family.
Everybody's my family.
But he ran away from home.
He did. You know what this reminds me of? We just finished season 3 of Star Trek Picard.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of Captain Picard telling the young people, Starfleet has always been my family.
Yeah.
And then his young son, Jack, is sitting at the bar overhearing this going, but what about, didn't you ever have a family outside of Starfleet? And Picard's like, no, fuck that. And the kid's like, okay, I guess I won't have a dad. And then he runs away.
Right. I really want the backstory of his, like, his later childhood.
Going back to Jesus?
Yeah, yeah.
Not Jack and Picard,
yeah.
No. Okay.
But no, because if we're going to take that at face value, someone is telling him in the crowd, your mother and brothers want to speak to you. They're standing outside.
Your mom is here.
Right.
And he's like,
Nah. They're not. This is my family right here.
Everybody's my mom. What the fuck are you talking about? What are you on about, stupid?
Yeah. So, like, I really, really need some backstory here.
Yeah.
Which we're not going to get, I'm sure.
No, I'm sure.
But
this is crazy, though. I wonder, like, was his mom like, Jesus, I heard that you were working on the Sabbath. Are you sure this is what, like, I said you were special, but you've taken this far.
Right. Yeah.
I said, what if I changed my story now? Like, you, like,
Jesus, you weren't actually a miraculous birth.
You were actually, you actually were a Roman soldier.
Look, we need to sit down and have a talk.
a very special episode.
Right, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
There's a lot of questions I have from that chapter.
I have so many questions.
Right?
Fucking New Testament.
Just in case you weren't here with us. We did do this live on Discord tonight.
We did.
Which we didn't mention earlier. So
right. We do a live Discord every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Yes.
Did I say Tuesday? Every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern.
You did now, for sure.
I did. Yeah. I did now,
for sure. It's definitely said.
Yes.
So, you should be there. The links are always in the show note and always on our website, sacrilegiousdiscourse.com.
Awesome website that husband has really souped up. It's very cool.
And Happy Feet says, only losers miss the live.
Well, there you have it.
It wasn't me that said it.
You heard it here first from one of our favorite Discord fans. So, you know, if you disagree, you should come into Discord and set the record straight.
Yeah. Yeah. Or not be a loser.
Yeah.
Which you're not. But, you know,
I mean, you're not in Discord.
You should come to Discord.
For sure. We have questions.
All right. That's enough. All right. That was Matthew chapter 12.
Sure as fuck was. I had to double check. What chapter was that?
And I think we're doing one more before we get into Q&As.
That is correct. We will be reading Little Maddie chapter 13. And then we will do a Q&A over 11, 12, and 13. And we have so many questions. I don't know how long chapter 13 is. It might be another two-parter. I just want to put that out there.
Okay.
I don't know.
Sounds good. Well, okay. We will see you then.
We will see you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, wife. I guess that's the end.
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.